So, what's private approximation? So, the general scenario is the following scenario which we're used to. Alice has an input x, Bob has an input y, and Alice tells Bob, let's compute some function f of x and y. And Bob says, no, I know you. We learned too much information on my input. And so Alice says, but haven't you heard of secure function evaluation? You can do it securely, and then you learn only what the f of x and y can teach you. And then he says, yeah, I know about this. Sure, I've heard of secure functional evaluation, but for this function f, I know that it will, for example, need a lot of communication to do secure functional evaluation of this function. Alice again has an answer. Listen, that's not a problem. We can approximate f by some function f star, as we usually do when we have when a protocol is expensive for the original functionality, and then do secure functional evaluation, but on the approximating functionality on f star. And well, Bob, he knows that in cryptography you should be careful, so he says, well, I don't really know, and let's think what can go wrong. So consider the following functionality, which I'm sure Bob will not be very happy to see. So in some cases, f star can actually completely reveal Bob's input and still be a very nice approximation of the original f. Of course, this will be a very extreme example, but it shows that we must be careful when trying to work with approximations. So suppose that f of these two inputs returns 64. So what would be f star of these two inputs? Probably guessed right. It would be 64 point exactly the input of Bob. And you probably can guess the output of f star on this one. Well, I guess it will not frequently happen when you design an approximation function, but it can certainly happen that the approximating function can leak information that the original function does not. And this is what private approximation is all about. So Bob is probably not very happy to see this example, and we want to somehow protect Bob from this kind of function.
I don't think it's completely hypothetical. I can tell you after the talk at least one paper which had this problem.
Exactly this problem. That's a very nice application. So what's the talk overview? We'll start with the background and previous work, and then the title of this talk is Private Approximation of Search Problem. We'll discuss the definitions for search, for the case of search problems. Then we'll start with an impossibility result for private approximation of the search version of vertex cover. We'll then be more optimistic if we will be able to compromise and leak little information. Then we'll give positive result for max 3 sat. We'll then discuss how problems in D have anything to do with this when discussing search problems. And we'll end with conclusion and open problems. And after the talk, I usually do it in my talks, I will offer you wine and cheese. So the notion of private approximation was originally introduced by Feigenbaum, Shai, Malkin, Nissim, Strauss, and Wright. Said it all right. Where f star is a private approximation for f, and first it has to be an approximation.
All of them except for the f were here at some stage.
Yeah. Strauss is not currently, but he wasn't. Okay, so f should be, of course, an approximation of f, but it's not enough, as we've seen before. F star should also give no more information about x than what f itself gives. And so in terms of formal privacy definitions, the original paper of Feigenbaum et al. Gave the following definition. First, that f star of x can be simulated. It may be a distribution if it's a randomized functionality, then it can be simulated given f of x. And the other is that if two inputs have the same output under f, then they should have indistinguishable outputs under f star. And note that the first definition implies the second, and this is what we will need for the results in this talk.
Why does this first condition not apply to the second?
The first does imply the second. Okay. But the other way around is not clear, but women need this direction. Okay, so furthermore, they didn't only give definition, they also gave positive results. So for example, consider the humming distance of two strings. Alice and Bob have, say, two large databases and they want to know the humming distance between them. So it costs a lot of communication just to compute the humming distance, so they want to approximate it. And then using just an arbitrary approximation, it may leak information rather than just the humming distance of the strings. So Feigenbaum et al. gave a square root of n communication private information protocol, which was later improved to polylog of n by Induk and Woodruff. So this is saving communication. Another complexity measure that we sometimes want to save, of course, is computation. And here for the permanent, Feigenbaum et al. Give a private approximation of the permanent in polynomial time. And so things look very happy until now. We have positive results, but it seems to be that it's not always the case. If we move to discuss private approximation of NP-hard functions in a paper by Levy, Kushilevitz, Kraft, Gammer, and Nissim, then consider the vertex cover problem, which we probably know. The input is an undirected graph. A set is considered the vertex cover, just to remind you, if it touches all the, if it is adjacent to all the vertexes, to all the edges in the graph. And in particular, they discussed the functional version in which we're supposed to return the vertex cover size. And later in the talk, as you can infer from the title of the talk, we'll discuss the search version. But now we discuss the retaining the size of the minimal vertex cover. And we'll discuss it in the following model, which can be shown equivalent to original two-party or multi-party model, when one side holds the input, and then the other side asks for the functionality, in this case vertex cover, the client side asks for the functionality for the vertex cover side of the input, and then the server wants to give this functionality, is willing to give F, if he's willing to do secure computation of F, but it is hard. So the client wants an approximation, and now we want to see if the server can give a private approximation. So this model was introduced in the paper of Halevi et al. And in particular, let's consider the following approximation algorithm for matching. And this is not just an extreme example. And let's see if this algorithm is private. So what's the maximum matching approximation algorithm? It's kind of well known. You just greedily pick a maximum matching of the graph, and then looking at the vertices of this of the edges of the perfect matching, not only that they form a cover, it's quite easy to see that it's a two approximation. They form a cover that is at most two times the optimal solution. And now, the server wants to know whether it's safe to execute this algorithm on his graph. So consider these two graphs. If we look at the vertex cover size of these two graphs, then it's two in both cases. Just note that the vertexes 2 and 3 in both graphs form a vertex cover, a minimum vertex cover. On the other hand, if we execute the matching algorithm, then in this graph we get 4, while in the other we get 2. And so two graphs that were not supposed to be distinguished by the client by the using the original functionality will now be distinguished because we use the non-private approximation algorithm. And the server is not happy about it. And the next question, of course, is can we fix this? Can we come up with an algorithm, with a private approximation algorithm for vertex color? And by this image, you can guess the answer. So in possibility results by Alevi et al, says that unless NP can be solved in polynomial time by randomized algorithms, then there is no private approximation for vertex cover size, even not for this very poor approximation. I mean, the original approximation ratio of the maximum matching is 2. Even for n to the 1 minus epsilon, you cannot get an approximation algorithm. And further, the given impossibility results for other NP-complete functions, including MaxSat, including an easier version of vertex cover, that is vertex cover on planar graphs. So this yes?
For what approximation is the impossibility for MaxSat?
The impossibility result for MaxSat, if I recall, then it's also for a very poor approximation ratio.
I'll check.
I don't remember exactly.
It can be more than 2.
Because you can
output.
Because you can say. Either 0
or.
For
the closest
we'll discuss it later. Okay, so. We now go to discuss the search problem. So the first thing to discuss in search problems is how to define what's a private approximation. So in function, it's quite easy because there's one input for every, there's one output for every input. And in search problems, it may be the case that there are many, say, vertex covers, many perfect matchings. And so it's harder to decide when do we want the approximation algorithm. For example, in vertex cover, we have to return a set of vertices. So the question, what is the right definition? What pairs of input should be indistinguishable? But what pairs of input we want the client not to be able to distinguish between? And so we give the following definition, and we do it in two steps. First, we define privacy with respect to a relation. Well, we consider an equivalence relation over all the inputs, and we'll have to decide this relation later for a given problem. And we say that an algorithm is private with respect to a relation if for any two equivalent inputs, it returns its, the output of the equivalent input is indistinguishable. So this is kind of a straightforward generalization of the original definitions. But now we have to pick the relation for a search problem, and the definition we choose is, if P is a search problem, we look at the set of all inputs that of all solutions of a given input, and we say the two inputs are equivalent if they have the same set of solutions. So just intuitively, this definition may seem quite weak. Okay, because in order, it's quite hard to think of it for several problems. It's quite hard to think of two inputs that are equivalent, and at least for lower bound, it makes it harder. I'll discuss this definition in terms of upper bounds later. So, for example, for vertex cover, two graphs are equivalent if they have the same set of minimum vertex covers. And just to be sure that there are equivalent graphs, because otherwise it's just trivial. Any approximation algorithm is private approximation because I require nothing. So consider these two graphs, and it's quite easy to see that, easy depends on the time, that 2 and 3 and 3 and 5 are the vertex covers of these two graphs, and so they are equivalent, just to see that they are equivalent graphs. So, an algorithm A is a private approximation algorithm for vertex cover. First, if it is an approximation algorithm, but more importantly, if two graphs are equivalent, that is, they have the same set of vertex covers, then we want the output on this of the approximation algorithm to be indistinguishable. And when we made this definition, it was not clear can this be done efficiently, like in the case of the permanent, in the functional case, or can we prove a lower bound, like in the paper of Halevi et al. And so probably the next thing you want to say, if you have a lower bound, let's compare the search and the functional versions. So in non-private computation, if you have a lower bound for functional, then for sure you have a lower bound for search. Right? Because if you can solve the search problem, just look at it, look at the vertex color, you can say you can tell how many vertices are there. So why can't we just easily use previous result to show the lower bound again? So in private computation, consider these two graphs. In these two graphs, in the functional version, they're equivalent. In both cases, the vertex cover size is 2. Again, you can either believe me or verify that 1 and 3 form minimum vertex cover. And so there is a requirement here from the approximation algorithm. If he wants to be private, he needs to retrieve similar answers or indistinguishable answers on this input. But on the other hand, for the search, they are not equivalent, because 2-4 is a vertex cover only in the right graph. It's not a vertex cover in the left graph. And so this definition might be easier to achieve, and so we cannot use, at least not directly, the lower bounds of Halevi et al. So if we cannot use them directly, why don't we just look at their paper and try to somehow do cut and paste? And this, unfortunately, also doesn't work, because in particular, the lower bound in Halevi et al., if you want to think about it in terms of the equivalence relation, then they rely on having few equivalence class. In the functional version, there are just n equivalence class. There are just n possible answers. And in our case, there's a huge, particular exponential number of equivalence class, and so we cannot just use the results, so we have to do things on our own. And so these were the definitions for the search problems, and now we're going to show how to prove the impossibility result for vertex cover. And I just want to say that I'll just show a taste of the proof. I will not be able to show all the proof, but I hope we'll understand the reason for the impossibility result. Yes?
So,
you know,
so does it mean that for private approximation, search and functional problems are comparable? So you cannot compare them one way, because in one case you
it seems incomparable. I'm not sure that I can formally do the separation, but it seems
also nobody has done formal kind of separation yet. I mean, in some sense.
Okay. I don't know. It depends. I mean, you have to do the right definitions and then see if there's a formal separation. But no, there's no formal separation. So. Let's discuss the impossibility results, and our first theorem says that if P is different than NP, there is no deterministic polynomial time private approximation for vertex cover. Again, even not for this very poor approximation ratio. We'll discuss non-deterministic algorithms later. It will just make the discussion easier to discuss deterministic algorithms where the answer is not the distribution, but just one answer. So it will just be easier to follow, but it all generalizes yet later for randomized algorithms as well. And the idea is that if we're given a private approximation algorithm, we will show how to use this algorithm to solve the vertex cover, but exactly, okay? And in particular, we construct a greedy algorithm, and what we will get from this private approximation algorithm is a method to decide on a vertex whether it's part of the exact solution or not. Okay, so let's see how is this done. So let's consider the following claim. So let G be a graph and let W be the result of the approximation algorithm. Okay, so W will be a vertex cover on the graph, not necessarily a minimal vertex cover, just an approximated vertex cover. And now consider two vertexes, V1 and V2, that are not in W, they're not in the approximated solution. And what I want to say is these two vertexes are non-critical for G. What do I mean critical? A vertex is critical if every minimum vertex cover of G contains it. So intuitively, if it's non-critical, I can use this this kind of plane just to take these vertexes and throw them away. I don't need them. And this way I can construct a greedy solution. Of course, it's not enough to construct a greedy solution, because at some point I will get W will be all the vertexes of this. So I need some tools to decide when a vertex is part of the solution. This you will not see in the talk, but you will see in the paper. So just a note that we take the approximation answer, the answer of the approximation, and it teaches us about the optimal solution. Okay? So this is the core idea. It's not only an approximation, it's a so-called private approximation. So I'm just going to show you how I know. Okay, so the claim, I'm going to prove the claim, I'm not going to prove it by theory. Okay, so I'm going to prove when we can throw a vertex, I'm not going to prove when we can take a vertex. So we have G and we have W, which is A of G, and we have two vertexes that are not in the answer. Is there an edge between them? There cannot be, because it's a vertex cover. Okay, and so there cannot, if there was an edge, it was not a vertex cover. So now what I do is I take G, I copy it, cut and paste it, and now the only difference between G and G star would be that I'll add an edge between V1 and V2. And the next thing to do, I don't have a lot of things to do with G star, but to execute A on it, and to get result W star, and now note that as W star is a vertex cover, it must contain either V1 or V2. So without loss of generality, it contains V2. Okay, or both. Okay, and so what we see from this picture quite clearly that W is different than W star. But if a private algorithm returns us different answers on two graphs, what does it mean? That they are probably not equivalent, because if they were equivalent, he would have had to return the same answer. And so they're not equivalent, these two graphs. And now I look at vertex V1 and I ask myself, can V1 be critical for G? Can it be the case that V1 appears in every single vertex cover of G? The answer is not, because if it was critical, then adding the edge V1, V2 would not change the set of minimal vertex cover. I just adding an edge that is connected to a vertex that is, in any case, in the set of minimal in the vertex cover already, does not change the set of vertex cover, and so it cannot be that V1 is critical. And in terms of the greedy algorithm, it means that I can just forget about V1 and continue. Yes?
When do you need G star to know that V1 is not critical?
I remind you that the fact that V1 is not in the private approximation, in the approximation result, does not say that it is not in the optimal solution. It may be in the optimal solution. If it was not a private approximation algorithm, I wouldn't have been able to say that V1 is non-critical. If it was just an ordinary approximation algorithm, it may certainly be the case that it takes a vertex that appears in every vertex cover and does not return it. Okay? So I strongly use the fact that it's a private approximation algorithm. Yeah.
So in the definition of critical vertex, mm-hmm. does it have to belong to all the optimal vertex covers or to all the minimal vertex covers?
All the optimal.
What's
the difference?
Minimal meaning that it doesn't contain any proper structure.
Oh, no, it's a minimum, it's optimal. It's what we say is optimal.
It's a minimum size, yeah?
Minimum size. Vertex cover, all the vertex cover of minimum size. Minimum size. Okay, and then just adding an edge that is, if it was critical, then adding an edge would not change this set. This can be easily proved.
And two graphs are equivalent if they're the same set of optimal vertex covers.
Yes, exactly. The same set of optimal solutions. Okay. And so this proves this claim. And if we go back to the theorem, then I'll just mention that we can replace deterministic algorithm by randomized, and then replace the assumption of p different than np, then to RP different than NP, and then we get the same result. It requires a little bit more technical work, but the ideas are similar. And so this is the case for vertex cover. So let's try max 3 sat. Maybe here we'll be more lucky. Don't be scared, it's just one slide on max 3 sat. So what's max 3 sat? We're given a 3CNF formula, and we want to find an assignment that satisfies as much clauses of the formula as possible. And the best approximation ratio known here is 7 over 8. And intuitively, if you want to define the relation, we will say that two formulas are equivalent if they have the same set of maximum, this time, okay, the satisfying maximum number, optimal, or maximal number of satisfying assignment. Okay. And again, using kind of similar techniques, again, we use greedy algorithm to find an optimal, to actually solve SAT itself, not max SAT, but to solve SAT using a private approximation. And so, again, there's no private approximation, and so from the beginning of the part when I'm talking about search problems, I'm only crying about things that we cannot do. So this, of course, opens first an open question, what can we do? What problems can we solve completely privately? But it also kind of rises the need for some kind of compromise.
So the approximation ratio? So you say it's impossible to do mass research within what?
Within a very bad approximation ratio as well, within n to the 1 minus epsilon as well. And
so
I'll go back to this later, because I know that by what Luca just said, it probably sounds strange, but it is true. It is true, and I don't have now the argument, but I can show you that the possibility results are applicable even for even to approximate it within 2 is not possible. And so we discuss now algorithms that leak little information. So we allow some kind of leakage, and we see and we test whether we can do better. And this was already discussed in the paper of Alevi et al. Well, if f is a function, they discussed it for functions. Then f star is a private approximation for f that leaks k bits, and we have some kind of leakage. If f star, again, can be simulated from f of x, until now it's exactly private approximation, but now we give the simulator another k bits of advice. Okay, so this is the compromise we're willing to do for functions, and it appears to be very useful for functions. Say vertex cover, in which we've heard a very a strong impossibility result in the case of full privacy, then there is a faux approximation, just twice as bad as the, just twice worse than the non-private approximation that leaks just one bit of information. It's not clear how to treat this leakage in terms of cryptography, but this is the result that we have in four functions. And I want to generalize this definition first for search problems. And for this, it will be, again, comfortable to consider the equivalence relation. So think of this as an equivalence relation of a problem which we couldn't solve if we couldn't solve efficiently in private, in completely private approximation algorithms. And so we allow refinement, an arbitrary refinement of the original equivalence relation, and now consider these inputs. If two inputs are within the same subclass, within the same refined class, then I require that they will be indistinguishable, the output of A on them will be indistinguishable, while if they come from different subclasses, then I have no requirement of them. No requirement. Okay? And the power that I have is that I can choose the refinement. Okay? So I have to come up with a refinement. Let's see if, a more formal definition. So A is a K, is K private with respect to a relation if there exists a refinement R such that every equivalence class of R is a union of at most 2 to the K equivalence classes of R prime. Okay, so 2 to the K equivalence classes can be thought of as K bits of leakage or K bits that you want to give a simulator. And now we require A to be private, but not with respect to R, but only with respect to this new R prime. So again, we want to see whether we can borrow techniques from the result in the functional front. And can we use the ideas of Halévy et al. For functions to get efficient, almost private algorithms for the search version? And again, the answer is no. Unfortunately, we couldn't do any cut and paste. So Halévy et al. Use rounding of a result of a non-private of a non-private approximation result to yield the almost private approximation algorithm. It is not clear. I don't say it's impossible. It's just not clear how to generalize this for search problems. And I write this no because for some problems, for example, vertex cover, you can achieve good results within the functional setting, but for search you cannot get a good result even with one or with log n bit of leakage. So what can we do? Again, this little boy that is happy because there is a positive result. So let's just recall what is the relation of that. In particular, we'll discuss max exact free sat when we have three different variables in each class. And two formulas are equivalent if they have the same set of maximum satisfying assignment. And now let's see how to how to design an almost private algorithm. What is the right refinement to choose with respect to this relation? So the first thing I'm going to do, which may come as a surprise, is to say that the refinement that we're going to choose is good with respect to any relation. I don't even have to consider the relation of psi. And I partition the space, the input space, into a small number of equivalence classes, in particular, just order of log n equivalence classes by choosing just order of log n assignments such that every formula in the input space has a good approximation. At least one of these assignments is a good approximation for every formula in the input space. And so, now that we add the, so first I have to show you how to, I'll prove in the next slide how to pick these assignments, but if we reconsider the original relation, then we can see that every original class is now divided into order of log n subclasses, which means just a leakage of log n bits of information. Okay? So the next thing we have to do is to see that indeed there is this very small set of assignments that in which every formula has a good enough approximation.
N is the size of the formula? Oh, it's CSAT, so it's the same size of the formula or size of the weakness?
N is the size of the witness, of the assignment. So there exists a set of order of log n assignments such that for every formula on n variables, there exists an assignment in this set. That, so it satisfies not 7 over 8, so it's not optimal, but 7 over 8 minus epsilon of the classes in phi. And now we'll see the proof, and in fact the proof here is not very hard. We just use almost, if we use a three-wise, completely three-wise independent variables, then we would get log n bits of leakage. To get log n bits of leakage with a small compromise in the approximation ratio, we construct almost three-wise independent variables, x1 to xn, and this gives us log n over epsilon assignments. And using these assignments, it's quite straightforward to see that for every three random variables, x1, x2, x3, and three Boolean values, the probability that x1 takes the value b1, x2 takes the value b2, and x3 the value b3, because of this almost independence, then the probability is between 1 over 8 minus epsilon and 1 over 8 plus epsilon, which means that for a given clause, the probability that the clause is satisfied by an assignment is 7 over 8 minus epsilon. And here, using straightforward counting arguments, we can see that for every formula, there must be an assignment, because if all the assignments did not satisfy 7 over 8, then we wouldn't have the probability in conclusion 1. It's quite quite straightforward counting argument. And so for every formula, there is satisfying an assignment in this set to satisfy 7 over 8 minus epsilon of the clauses. And so this gives us to our second theory, that there is an algorithm that has a log n bits of leakage and gives an almost optimal 7 over 8 minus epsilon approximation for max Strisart, where we simply use this, the algorithm simply goes over this list of possible assignments given the input and chooses the first assignment that solves, that is, we are promised that there must be at least one assignment in this set that satisfied seven over eight minus epsilon of the clauses. So, in particular, we have other, in the paper there are other positive results, but they are all within this very combinatorial framework that, given a problem, we come up with a short list of solutions, if it's possible, and it is of course not possible for all problems. For example, in vertex cover we get much less impressive result using this technique. So we use a short list of solutions and such that every input has a good approximation in this list. And if we use 2 to the k solutions, then it gives us a k private algorithm that leaks k bits. And one important open problem here is to come up with some more algorithmic way of doing private approximation, in which we do not just give a list of solutions, but do something more interesting with the input. So this is the our discussion about algorithms that leak written information. And the next thing is to forget about approximation for a while and talk about problems in P and see that, in some sense, this definition makes sense even if we don't talk about approximation. So if S is a search problem in B, take your favorite problem, for example, shortest path, then recall that two inputs are equivalent if they have the same set of solutions. And for a private algorithm, we require that A of X, that a private algorithm should return the same distribution and two equivalent inputs. So we have no approximation here. We just have a problem, and we want an algorithm such that if we have the same answers, we don't want the client or the distinguisher to know which of the inputs we had in our hand. So the question is this possible for every problem in P. And we've seen that for approximation it's sometimes hard, but is it possible to for every problem in P to come up with such an algorithm? Well, the answer is no, and consider the following impossibility result. Again, the problem will not be very natural, but it gives the flavor that it's not always possible. So we're given a graph, a set of vertexes, C, and an integer K, and the output is defined as follows, the output of this problem. So if C is a clique of size K and G, if we were given a graph and a clique inside it, then we have to output some clique of this graph. And otherwise, if it's not a clique, there's no requirement. You can output whatever you want. Okay, so clearly, it's not very hard to see that this problem is in P, because we can always output the clique C, but if we're able to output, if we have a private algorithm, that is an algorithm that outputs and just a random click in the graph, or an algorithm that outputs the same distribution for two equivalent inputs, then we can use this to solve click by non-uniform algorithm. So this is just to show that even to come up, if you have a problem in P,
to come. Listen about what are the equivalent, when are two inputs equivalent in this particular example?
If they have the same set of clicks of size K.
And the input is a click of size K.
Yes. Yes, and the input is a click of size K.
So you can't just output the input because the input might have different seeds, but overall they have the same list of clicks of size K.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so this is an impossibility result even for a problem in P, and the next thing to ask, okay, so for what problems in P can we follow the definition? So positive results would be any problem which we can find, say, the lexicographically first solution. So if two inputs have the same set of answers and we can find the lexicographically first, then we can output the same answers on such two inputs, and if we can find a random solution, then if X and Y are equivalent, it essentially means that picking a random solution would give the same distribution for X and for Y, and so for these problems, these are examples for perfect matching, you can do it statistically. Shortest path, linear algebra, and more, we can do this. But this raises the question that I promised before when I made the definition and said it is good for lower bound because it seems kind of weak. But now, when I come to report about positive results, this of course raises the question, can this definition be considered now? Can I use this so-called private algorithms that follows these conditions and say that this is indeed private? Is this a good definition for positive results? So is this definition strong enough? And in particular, consider the first solution, which we return the lexicographically first solution. So for many problems, returning the lexicographically first solution, of course, tells a lot about my input and about the solution space for my input. And so there's an important question, what would be the right sufficient definition under which it will be convenient to take an algorithm, just make sure that it follows the sufficient set of conditions, and then it will be useful, and we will be able to call it a private algorithm, even for positive results. And this is a work in progress. We already have some kind of definition, in which not all the problems that satisfy the current definition satisfy the new definition. So this brings us to the part of conclusions and open problems. So further results that are in the paper is a strongly possibility result for the search, even for log n, even for algorithms that leak log n information, there is no non-trivial private approximation for vertex cover. On the other hand, we give a solution list algorithm that gives this approximation and leaks, it leaks actually quite a lot of bits, n to the epsilon. And what's important about this result, I wouldn't have remind the second result unless it was proved in a paper that's going to be in the next TCC by Beimer, Halak, and Nissim, that they improved our lower bound and actually said that for vertex cover, this solution list algorithm is optimal. You cannot do better in some kind of an algorithmic technique. So to conclude, we defined private approximation for search problems and gave a possibility result for private approximation for vertex cover, even under a quite weak definition of privacy. Then we define a k-private approximation, that is algorithms that leak k bits of information and give a positive result for max 3 SAT. And we discussed privacy approximation, private computation problems in P. We showed that it is not always possible. We showed an impossibility result. On the other hand, it may be that for some problems in P, there are interesting positive results. So open problems. So first, to give more private approximation algorithms, in particular, design more algorithmic solutions, that is algorithms that defeat the solution list. Algorithms that do things that are other than just picking a small list of solutions that is good for all the inputs. And the second thing that we have work in progress, and it's interesting, is to discuss private approximation of problems in P. If I hold, say, a database, and someone comes and asks me a question in which I have a lot of answers, I don't want to give him an answer that reveals a lot of information about my data. I want to give him an answer that gives him exactly as much information as he paid for. Okay, so how can this be defined? So what is the right sufficient definition, and for what problems can we fulfill this definition, and this would be.